Grace to you and peace. Amen. My brother is 3 years older than me. So we didn't come out of the womb fighting. And probably until I was 8 or 9, I think my brother and I got along pretty well. He was older, and I was content to just follow along behind him, playing whatever games he wanted to play, and happily taking whatever role he wanted to assign to me. If he wanted to be the Lone Ranger, I was happy to be Tonto. If he wanted to be Batman, of course, I would be Robin. But something changed as he headed into middle school, and I probably got old enough and big enough to start asserting myself. My brother was a nerd. And in sixth grade, he headed off to some special school that the district had created just for nerds like him. There he took classes called accelerated and advanced in the title, right? He had lots of reading and homework to do and probably never went out for recess. I was content to be a third grader at the normal school with all the normal kids who did normal things like play King of the Hill at recess or tabletop football at lunch or baseball after school. We complained when there were math tests that were too hard and the teacher made us do things like book reports and science projects. That's probably when the fighting began. Now, we didn't fight all the time, but as the years went on and as our interests continued to diverge, the fights increased in frequency and intensity. I'm sure that I convinced myself at the time that he was the one who was asking for it. But if I'm being honest, I would have to guess that I was usually the instigator. I mean, he would be doing something horribly unacceptable, like watching some nerdy TV show or reading some nerdy book quietly to himself. Now, seeing this totally dishonorable behavior required me to act. So I would probably come along and change the channel or turn off his reading light or steal his book away. And he would change the channel back and sit on the remote or plug the light back in and grab a different book. So I would take a swing or put him in a headlock or sit on him, or pretty soon we'd be wrestling. And we would struggle until mom or dad would arrive to scold us into submission and send us both to our rooms. A technical draw, I would say. Or we would just fight until he would run into his bedroom and block the door by laying down against it to keep me out, which I considered a win. And as I remember it, I had a winning record until my brother left for college. Is it any wonder that the story of God and God's people would include characters like Jacob and his brother Esau? How many of you can connect with the story of siblings that don't get along? Do you know someone that has treated a family member poorly or has maintained a grudge for an unreasonably long period of time? Are you that someone? Or maybe you're the object of that grudge. One thing the story of Jacob makes plain is that the relationships like the one Jacob had with his brother Esau can become horribly broken. Some of this was certainly genetics. I mean, Scripture tells us the boys were very different. They were physically different. They were good at different things. They had different interests. But the conflict between the boys was also learned behavior. Esau was Father Isaac's favorite, while Jacob was Mother Rebekah's darling. It's one thing for parents to pick favorites among their offspring, but to actually take sides between twins? Well, that's just a little added cruelty, in my opinion. I mean, it's obvious that I was my parents' favorite child, so to point it out to my brother would just add insult to injury. But Jacob is caught up in a larger plot, and he forever spoils whatever filial bond he has with his brother, or so he believes. While with his mother's help, Jacob schemes his way into acquiring the birthright and a blessing that belonged to his brother. Well aware that he had crossed a line, he flees his home, fearing for his life, and he leaves the land that God had promised to the descendants of his grandfather, Abraham. Even though Jacob has left something important behind, he still finds success and seemingly begins to experience further the fulfillment of God's promises, albeit in a different land. He marries Leah and Rachel. He builds his family and he builds his fortunes. But Jacob is the descendant of Abraham. And the place that his story belongs is back in the promised land. A return to the land of his father and his grandfather is almost a foregone conclusion. Except there's one big nagging problem. The brother who was wronged is still there. And he must still have a giant chip on his shoulder. And who could blame him? Certainly not Jacob. So word comes that Esau and his crew, a posse of biblical proportions, is on the march toward Jacob and all his family. And Jacob sends his wives and his children and his servants and all his stuff across the river. Is this some kind of show of force, or is it a peace offering? Regardless, we know that Jacob is scared. And Jacob prays to God, "Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him, and he may come and kill us all." God hears Jacob's prayer. And God's faithful response will somehow give Jacob what he needs to face his fear and face his brother once more. Jacob needs the confidence to trust God's promise. And he needs the humility to seek the forgiveness of his brother. Self-confidence and humility, two seemingly opposed character traits that are delivered through a late night wrestling match with the Almighty himself. And lest we think that this might just be another Jacobean dream, a dislocated hip is a reminder that our struggles with God will be all too real. But Jacob hears the cry, "Uncle," and he is blessed and named anew. Jacob, the heel, began the night fearing what torturous retribution his brother had in store, and Israel ended up on the mat, his own arm raised in victory next to a divine and defeated one. Jacob has regained the confidence that he is the one in whom God has rested his promise. But that one big hurdle still remains. The wronged brother is still out there. The one who has wrestled with God must still wrestle back his own fear, his pride, his shame, and find a way to make peace with Esau. This is the story of human becoming, of how relationships that matter most can so easily be torn apart. And this is the story of how God shapes and sharpens our capacity for faithful reconciliation. Sometimes we're good at loving back the people who love us, and sometimes we're good at messing up those very same relationships. For those who think we can find contentment carrying these chips on our shoulders, or live just fine being afraid of those who still carry the chips we helped to create, well, God seems to have something else in mind for us. And perhaps it's time to end this wrestling match and find the confidence to trust in another way. Over time, things settled down between me and my brother. Mostly, we just didn't see each other all that much anymore, and the absence probably gave me some new perspective. I started to think a little differently about all those nerdy things that he was interested in. It turns out, I eventually discovered it's actually really valuable to have smart people like my brother around. People like my brother are helping to make the world a better place every single day. I would say now that even though we spend so much of our lives apart, in some really important ways, my brother and I are closer than we've ever been. I may not want to be Tonto to his Lone Ranger anymore, but I do love being his brother. And if you ever get the chance to meet him, feel free to remind him that Mom still likes me best. Thanks be to God. Amen.